God is so good. God is good and God is faithful. I'm going to ask you to do what we do every single week, which is stand to your feet. There's so many things that in a week's time will make you feel like you've been knocked flat on your face, but I'm just going to ask you to stand up and give God one of the very few things that we can give Him, which is our praise. And if you've had a rough week, I just want you to look at what you're doing right now. You're still standing, and you're standing by the grace of God and nothing else. And so just begin to let those weekly things that have bothered you, let those things roll off. God's wanting to take those things off of your heart right now. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I just plead the blood of Jesus, God, over every single person, Lord, that's here today. God, every person that's watching on Facebook Live, Lord, I ask that you administer peace to them right now in Jesus' name. God, for every inmate in Logan County, God, I ask you right now, Lord, to walk up into those pods, God, to minister healing, God, and comfort to them. Lord, I ask you right now, God, that for every person, Lord, that's broken, God, in heart, God, and in soul, Lord, I ask that you would restore them right now. God, for every person in need of a healing, God, in their physical body, God, I ask that you'd heal those bodies, Lord. And I give you this service right now, Lord, to have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm happy to be here this morning. I don't know if anybody has told you today yet, but I want to tell you that God loves you so much. And, you know, I would not be a very good pastor if I could not keep it real with you. So this morning I want to minister about something that's been very, very close to my heart. And that is, you know, what does the Christian do when we suffer with depression? And I would be a terrible pastor if I stood up here and said, I've never experienced it. I want to tell you that from the leadership down, I want to tell you that we're just people. We're people. We suffer depression. I want to tell you that I've suffered it myself. And I'm not going to dance around that. I think that there's a misconception with believers that we feel like we have to dance around and act like everything is fine when it's not fine. We have to act like we're not suffering in depression when we're breaking on the inside. And I want to tell you that I suffer with that also. I have moments where I'm in deep, dark depression. And I'm not ashamed to tell you that. I'm not ashamed to be real with that. It is what it is. But you know what? We overcome these things when we are able to talk about them. And so I'm going to be just as transparent as I can possibly be with you, because you know what? God has something better for His kids. How many of you are parents in this room? Amen. How many of you love your kids more than you love anything else? Amen. That's our common ground. And so, you know, God the Father loves us so much. Now, I don't know about you parents, but when my kids come home and they've been picked on at school, that bothers me. And I want to make it better for them. And so I want to just minister from my heart this morning. And so let's go to Psalms chapter 16. We're going to begin to look at verse 5. And everything, every matter of the heart, every answer to every question that you don't know what you're going to do about it, it's in the Word. It's in the Word. And if a pastor stands before you and they can't give you chapter and verse, that's not good. So we're going to break this down. It's not how many verses that a pastor can read in a service. It's the quality in which they can give it to you and you can understand it. So Psalms chapter 16, we're going to begin to read at verse 5. And it says, Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. And I want to tell you one of the first things about depression is this right here. Depression will whisper in your ear, you're not enough. Depression will whisper in your ear all the things that you did that you're ashamed of. Depression will tell you that it's never going to get any better. Depression will tell you that you're stuck in your life and this is how it's going to have to be forever. See, depression will come and it will whisper things in your ear. And at the end of the day, the Word of God is still true when it says, Lord, you have assigned me my portion. And what does that mean for you? Look here, that means that there is something called destiny. He called you by name. And look here, nobody can be you. Nobody can be you. Nobody can be the amazing person that He's called you to be. When He formed you in your mother's womb, He knew you. Not only did he know you, but he set you apart. And he said, that's my kid over there, and I love them dearly. And so we have to be careful to not listen to those depressing thoughts that want to come and whisper things in our ear, because at the end of the day, nobody can ever take your place. Depression will tell you that life would be better without you in it. Depression will tell you that, oh, my kids don't need me. It would be better if I wasn't here. Now, am I preaching or am I preaching? Okay. See, we're going to keep it real here, because we're living in a very real world where people suffer from real things. And depression is real. And it will get you, and it will get you in a paralyzed state where you feel like you cannot go on, where you feel like you don't want to go on. And God does not want that for his kids. God wants you happy, and he wants you whole. And you can have that with Jesus. So what I want to tell you, the first thing about depression is this right here. You are special. Somebody needs you. Life would not be better without you in it. You have a destiny. You have a calling. Nobody will ever be able to walk in that destiny like you can. He's got something special for you. Depression will tell you there's nothing special about you. You're very special. You're set apart. And God calls you by name. And so it says here, Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup, and you have made my lot secure. Depression will tell you how insecure everything about your life really is. The things that you feel like were certain, the devil will cause those things to be shaken up to where you feel like nothing is certain, like you can't depend on anything or anybody. I want to tell you that in Jesus' name, that's going to leave here, and it's going to leave here this morning, because the one thing that will not let you down, that will not fail you, is God. God is not going to fail you. God has not brought you this far to leave you. God hasn't called you by name just for you to walk around and feel so much stress and pressure and agony and hurt all the time. See, that's not what God has for his kids. God has happiness and wholeness for us. But you know what? The devil, he wants to constantly whisper those depressing thoughts. He wants to get you to believe that you're not good enough. And I want to tell you that you're good enough. And when God says that, hey, your lot, it's secure. When I think about some of the most depressing things in my life, it came out of a sense of insecurity. Because I felt like something was being taken from me, and I didn't have control of it. Let me tell you something right now about depression. Whatever God truly gave to you, God isn't taking that thing back from you. When God told you that he was going to fix your problems in your life, you can take that to the bank. When God tells you, I'm going to restore you, you can count on that restoration. See, God doesn't want you up in here sad and miserable and depressed all the time. He loves you so much that he calls you his own, that he calls you his kid. He calls you the apple of his eye. Yet so many believers, when they go to bed at night, they're weeping. Yet so many believers, when they're going from their day to day, they feel so terrible about themselves. They feel like, you know what, this is my life. I made my bed, and I'm going to lie in it, and I'm going to have to stick with it and all this stuff. Look here, at any moment in time, the Word of God says, whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord, they'll be saved. I don't know about y'all, but God has had to save me from myself many, many times. He's had to pick me up in depressions. I've had depressions that I felt like I would never get out of. I've had moments where I felt like I didn't want to live any longer. Now, is that a terrible thought for your pastor to tell you? Look here, it's only terrible if I can't admit it. Why am I being so transparent with you? Because look here, at some point the church has got to deal with real problems, and depression is a real issue. Amen. So to read on here, it says, you have made my lot secure. And I want to tell you something. God has made your lot secure. You don't have to feel so insecure, because God has made you secure. When everything around is falling apart, you can count on God. There's times where we get in depressions because we look around and people have disappointed us and broken us. look here, God's not going to do that to you. He doesn't have it in him. He loves you, and he loves you a lot. And so it says, you have made my lot secure, and the boundary lines, y'all say boundary lines, have fallen for me in pleasant places. One of the things that I've learned about depression, when I really take a very good look at it, is many times depression stems from what other people have done to us. Notice we all just said boundary lines. I want to tell you some things about depression. You're going to have to draw some lines in the sand. You're going to have to say, you know what? Certain people, they're not good for me, and I've drawn that boundary line. God does not expect you to take beatings from people on a regular basis. And I'm not talking about physical beatings. I'm talking about the ones emotional where you feel drained because you've been around somebody that's never good to you. God didn't call you to live that life, and you don't have to. When the word says the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places, realize that somewhere in your life, you're going to have to take a look and you're going to have to say, God, help me draw my boundary lines so, Lord, I'm not sad and miserable all the time. There's people in our lives that we are going to have to come to a settling in our soul that they will never be for us. That doesn't make you a bad person, and it doesn't make them a bad person. There's just times where you are not going to jive and jive with other people, and that's okay. You just don't click. Boundaries. Draw them boundary lines. A couple months ago, God was ministering to me about boundaries, and he said, Kelly, I'm releasing you from this person, and you no longer have to be broken over them any longer. And myself, I wanted to be broken because I dearly love this person. He said, Kelly, that person is toxic for you, and I'm telling you right now, if you want to be whole, if you want to have your joy back, you release them right now, and you never take that back up. That person is a wonderful person. It's just not one of my people. It's not somebody that's going to put some good things into my life. We have to learn when we are dealing in depression and things like that, get your boundary lines. And when you set those boundary lines, realize this, God will show you. He'll pinpoint it out. He'll say, okay, here's your boundaries. Set those. Keep them up. And so the word says, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places, and surely I have a delightful inheritance. And what I want to reiterate to you right now is this right here. God has something amazing for you. If you're struggling today just to walk in this church and keep that head held high, look here, be real with it. Be real with it. If you're struggling, you're struggling. Call on God. Ask him, God, help me right now in Jesus' name. God, I'm dealing with depression, and God, I don't want to. God, I don't want to. Lord, you told me that your yoke was easy and that your burden was light. God, right now I want to do an exchange right now. God, I want your burdens and I want your yoke. God, I'm asking you to take mine off of me. And so, surely you have a delightful inheritance. Surely God has amazing things for you. One of the things that we get stuck in when we're battling depression and sadness and grief and mourning is, I'll never be able to be happy again. Let me tell you something. That's a lie from Satan. That is a lie from Satan. Don't believe it. I've had those same things whispered to me in my ear many, many, many times. You'll never be whole again. You'll never be happy again. You'll never get over this. You'll always be devastated over this. Look here. Life goes on. And you learn how to deal with them emotions when they come on. And I'm telling you now that the only way that you can really deal with them effectively is bring God into the picture and say, God, I want to make you right now the ruler of this heart. Lord, help me to weed out those things in me that are going to continually cause me to feel down, that are going to continually hurt. And so it says here in verse 7, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. And one of the things that I've noticed when I'm feeling down is many times I feel that way at night. And I think that it's because it's when I've gotten that first moment where I've actually slowed down enough to think. How many of you are overthinkers in here? I will overthink about overthinking about overthinking. I am going to analyze everything. I'm going to dissect it. I'm going to get it on my dinner plate, and I'm going to just eat it and eat it and eat it. And it's terrible when we do that because we, at that moment, when we're doing that, we are sifting our own selves. The devil doesn't even have to sift us because we're doing it all on our own. And so it says here, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. And so many times depression will hit you at night, and it's because we finally slowed down in the day and we're thinking way too much about our problems. See, whatever happened to the verse that just said, turn your eyes on God, look up, look up. So many times we're looking inward at what's not going right when God's saying, look at all the other things that I've turned around. I don't very often encourage people to look back at life because I believe that you can get stuck in a downward spiral of always looking back and never being happy with what you have. The only time I recommend that people look back is when you really are in a moment where you just need to remember how good God was, how faithful that he was, how many times that he came through. When you really think about God, has he ever been late for you? He hasn't. He's not going to start. He's with you in those moments where you feel like you don't want to go on. He's with you in those moments when you feel like you're on top of the world. He's with you in all of them. And so it says here, even at night, my heart instructs me. There's so many nights where I go to bed and I have a really heavy heart and I just have to stop and I have to just allow myself to be a person. And if there's anything that this world has done to people, it's dehumanized people. Where you feel like you're in the hustle and bustle. You've got to get kids here. You've got to get kids there. You've got this meeting. You've got that meeting. You've worked all day, yet you come home and you work again. And you keep working. And you're working all these hours. And you're doing all this stuff. And you're trying your best. And one of the things is that we have to slow down and we have to say, you know what? I'm a person. And I'm going to allow myself to be a person. And I'm going to allow myself to actually go to bed and to rest. Many times I have to say, God, in Jesus' name, I just invite you right now into this heart. Lord, I'm going to go to bed and I'm going to ask you, God, to begin to counsel this heart that's very, very troubled. See, because the word, it says, even at night, you'll counsel my heart. There's times where things go on in our lives and they've left us very sad and we don't know how we're going to go on. Look here. First thing you're going to do to get to on the road to going on is you're going to go to bed. And you're going to allow your body and your mind and your soul to rest. If God himself rested on the seventh day, you're going to have to rest. Your spirit, your soul, and your mind, they're going to have some rest. We make our worst decisions out of fatigue and in exhaustion. We just do. And yet, that's the thing that the devil creates for us so much, is he gets us overtired. We have to learn how to rest. We have to learn that, you know what? God doesn't ever rest. He doesn't slumber and he doesn't sleep. And because of that, we can. If God went to bed when we went to bed, we'd have a problem. If God never rested, look here, even he rested. He knew that he had to. He knew that he had to. And so it says here, I have set the Lord always before me. When I look back, and I see, when were some of the most depressing moments in my life? It was in the times where I didn't put God first. It's hard to put God first. Because putting God first is going to require you to do some things that you quite simply you don't want to do. God ever ask you to do something you don't want to do? He asked me to do that all the time. And sometimes I'll do what God says and sometimes I don't. That's the truth of it. And it says, I have set the Lord always before me. So one of the keys to being able to walk free from sadness and depression and irritation is put God first. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows the end of a thing before the beginning ever got started to begin with. And because of that, we're better off when we just put him first. When we put him first. So it says here, I have set the Lord always before me. So many times in life, we have what we want to do, and we have what God wants us to do. Many times, they don't match up. What do? We keep setting God before ourselves. We keep setting him before ourselves. Why do we do that? Because the word tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then, and only then, can all these things be added to you. So many times we find ourselves very sad and unhappy, and it's because we didn't put God first. It's a very tall order to put him first. Why? Because it's going to cause you to do some things you didn't want to do. It's going to make you do things a different way than how you wanted to do them. The right thing is not always the easy thing. Many times it's not the easiest thing, but it's the right thing. And so it says, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Now, I don't know about y'all, but it feels like everything right now is being shaken. You get on Facebook, it's crazy. Everybody's arguing. I used to think I want all this free entertainment because everybody's arguing and it's free entertainment. Where can you get entertainment like that? The longer or the older I get, I don't know, something's going on with me, but the older I get, I'm like, I don't even enjoy this anymore because everything is ridiculous. And it's like we are hiding behind computer screens and phones and being awful to people. And you know, the more wicked people are to people, the sadder they're going to be. You're going to reap what you sow. That's just how it is. And everything, I believe, that can be shaken is being shaken. And not just a little shaken, like an earthquake. Everything's being shook up. And Christians got to keep their bearing. We got to keep a hold of God. When I was a kid, I don't know if it's in Midway or New Blaine. I don't know. Those are like the same town to me, really. I mean, you go, they're just like right there together. I just clump them together. Anyhow, and no, I don't know northeast and south and west. I have tried to figure that out so many times, and it's very confusing for me. I'm just like, where's Walmart? And okay, so if I'm looking at the front of Walmart, where are you telling me to go? That's the only way I know my directions. That's it. And I'm not going to learn. I'm not going to learn that northeast, southwest. It's just not going to happen. So when I was a kid, we used to, every once in a while, get to go skating. How many of you adults got to go skating at some point? Okay, that was like the highlight of everything cool that we were able to do. So at this skating rink, in the middle of it, there was this bucking bull thing, a mechanical bull, okay? We would get on the bull, and we would see how long we could all last. Well, look here, I never lasted that long because I don't like to be shook up. How many of you like to be shook up? I don't like it. It's unpleasant. It hurts. It's uncomfortable. I don't like it. I don't like pain. I don't like having depression. What am I going to do about it? I'm going to listen to what God says about it. I know this is a weird topic. Very few pastors are going to address depression. Because you're going to have one silly person going to watch this video and be like, well, she thinks she's a doctor. No, I think I'm a child of God, and I'm the one pastor that's going to actually talk about depression, because we all going through it at one point or another. That's just how it is. And so everything right now is being shaken. But what does the Word of God say? The Word of God says, I will not be shaken. I will not be shaken. See? The Word also says if you will have just a little bit of faith, just even like a grain of mustard seed, if you would have that, you could talk to the mountains in your life and you could tell them to move and they'd move. See, when you feel, how many of you can literally feel chaos when it's coming? When it's coming at your door, when you know you're about to have an issue, you can feel it in the air. You can almost breathe it. I'm the same way. There comes a point where you're going to have to stop that little shipwreck you're on, and you're just going to have to say, look here, devil, I am not going to allow you to shake me up over this. I'm not going to be shaken up over this. And you're going to have to get a hold of them reins, and you're going to have to ride that mechanical bull called life, and it's going to try to buck you off, and you're going to have to sit there, and you're just going to have to hold on. So many people take their hands off of the living God, and they give up prematurely. Look here, God has not called you to be a quitter. God has called you to be an overcomer. If you want to taste victory, you're going to have to hold on, because God's glory is coming. That's no question. But look here, the devil is going to throw every single thing in your path to get to slip you up. You're going to have to be smarter than a fifth grader. You remember that show? Okay. Now, I'm not smarter than a fifth grader, because I got a fourth grader, and he somehow or another, they have turned that math into sentences, and I'm all confused. But look here, we've come too far to give up. We cannot do that. We got to hold on. And it doesn't mean that the devil is not going to try to buck you off. He is. And the harder you hold on, he's going to try to do it more. But look here. He can't win. The only way the devil can win is if you quit. That's the only way. That's the only way. Is if you just quit. And as your pastor this morning, I'm begging you not to quit. I'm begging you to dig down as deep as you have to get on the other side of this, because you can. You can and you will. There is nothing that is bigger than the living God. There's not a problem that you can have. There's not a problem that you face that God is not already working on. There's problems we'll have 10 years from now. He's already there. He's already in those moments. He's already in the pivotal moments of your life. So you can't afford to quit. We got to learn how to deal with our emotions effectively. And so it says here, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices, and my body will also rest secure. You know, when you get too much going on, you can give yourself an ulcer just by worrying. Is that true or not, Michelle? That's true. You can give yourself an ulcer just by worrying about every little thing that is irritating you. You can't afford to get an ulcer, okay? That's not unpleasant for you. Don't do that to yourself. It's like when we're all doing the food on Wednesdays, and I'm like, man, hernia is running my family. We all busting guts. Look here, I ain't going to be doing that. I'm going to know Kelly Mae ain't going to be lifting nothing too hard, because look here, I'm a baby, and I ain't going to be having no hernia surgery. My daddy had a hernia surgery years ago, and he said, the doctor said, now take it easy. And he said, okay. I wake up, the man's out there driving the tractor, just clumping along the day after. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm showing the devil that he's not going to slow me down. I don't care if I got a hernia or not. Look here, he just went on with his life. We have to make decisions every day, and I'm asking you to make a decision that you're getting through this, that you're going to walk through this. I know that people are having trouble. I can feel it. I can look on your faces sometimes and I see that you're hurting and I'm so sorry. I don't want to see you hurting. I don't want to see you upset. I don't want to see you depressed. I want to see you happy. I want to see your families doing well. I want to see your marriages being healthy. Look here, we're all in this together. When you hurt, we all hurt. And you just got to get a hold of God and say, God, help me, because I'm hurting right now. Depression so many times is like a wave. You could be fine, and it just sweeps through the air, and there it is, and you're just in a moment. Now, is that true or not? Because that's how it is in my life. Look here, I've been in the jail, and I've been speaking. Man, I look forward. Y'all don't take offense, but that's my happiest moment is when I'm preaching to them women at the jail. You know why? Because I don't feel the need to be any other thing than just me. There's so many things that tug at me. Oh, I got to smile at Walmart. I got to do this. There's no politics up in that jail. There's nobody wondering about if my shorts are too short, if my stripes are going horizontal instead of vertical, and they're making me look chubby. All this stuff that people make a deal up out of me, I get to lose that, Rocky, the moment I walk up in there. And just like I have felt depression in waves in periods of my life, I've been in that jail, and man, the Spirit of God just hit every one of us in there and just feel that wave of God all throughout there. And let me tell you something. Make your mind up today. You're moving on. Make your mind up that, you know what, God? You're the only one going to get me through this. And Daddy God, I trust you. I trust you with everything that I am. God, my life isn't perfect. God, I've messed up. Lord, there's things that I've done I'm ashamed of. God, there's things that have weighed me down. Lord, help me. God, you're the only one that can. I'm asking you to help me. And so it says here, therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices and my body will also rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. Verse 11, you have made known to me the path of life. You have made known to me the path of life. When I think about in the moments where I've been my most depressed and upset, I have been the most depressed and upset when I didn't know what was going to happen. There's something about not knowing about what the future holds that gets you real icky real quick. Gets you icky quicky. How many of you get depressed when you start thinking about the future and you're like, what's going to happen with this situation? And before you know it, you have done like played 10 years down the line and you done got some real messed up stuff going on up in your head. Sometimes I think about it and I'm like, I got some things going on up here, and I'm like, oh my God, if that actually goes down that way, we're all in trouble. You can't afford to be thinking that stuff. That's going to eat you up. You can't afford to let your mind go there. What does the word just say? God, you have made known to me the path of life. God's the only one that can make known to you the path of life. In him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. You haven't really lived till you've lived in Christ. You haven't really truly been till you've been in Christ. You haven't really had your being and known who you are till you've been in him. There's no point in getting worked up and staying worked up about your future, because God holds it in the very palm of his hand. That should make you feel real good. He holds every day that you have right in his hand. And because of that, you can go on with your life and have joy. If it was in anybody else's hands, we would all be in trouble. Sometimes I look back and I'm like, God, thank you that you didn't give me your job. Because God, I couldn't be God, because let me just tell you, I'd be rough. You ever get sick of folks and you're like, ah, snuff them out. I said we was going to keep it real. Sometimes I'm like, man, I wish this was Survivor because I'd blow your flame out. Don't tempt me. I'm Italian, and we're very passionate. God loves you this morning. And if you've battled in depression and sadness this week, I want to tell you that there's hope. I want to tell you that God has been in every moment, every single moment for you. You have made known to me the path of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence. We are so chaotic in this life. Things have gotten so busy, so messed up, so weird, like upside down, that we're going all the time. And we're wondering why we keep coming up short in our emotions and we feel terrible all the time emotionally. And it's because, look here, we have allowed ourselves to be run to the ground in so many things. And so the way that we're going to get our joy back, the way that we're going to be able to move and work through those moments where we're depressed is, look right here, God, in your presence, you'll fill me with joy. If you're not practicing being in the presence of God, you're going to have some problems. When's the last time you just got up in your bathroom and you just got on your knees? That's where I go because that's where I can be the most left alone. I said, can I just have some privacy? Colton was in his room the other day and I kind of walked in there, you know, and he looked at me and he goes, can I just have some privacy? Thank God. 6 years. That's the last time I had a kid. 6 years. It's taken 6 years for somebody to ask me for some privacy. Praise the Lord. They want privacy. Thank you, God. I hope privacy equals independence. We've just learned how to wipe our own rear, and I'm happy about it. I did not sign up to do that for the rest of my life, although at some points in my motherhood I have thought I'm going to be a professional butt wiper for the rest of my life with this kid. What was the best thing that happened in 2021? My kid learned how to wipe his own rear. You got to take your battles where you can get them. Praise God. So it says, you've made known to me the path of life, and you'll fill me with your joy in your presence. Look here, guys. You can't neglect getting in God's presence and wonder why you're having some issues. You've got to get in his presence. You've got to give God time. You've got to spend time with God. You've got to get alone with God and just say, God, I'm so broken. Lord, I'm hurting. God, I'm anxious. Lord, I'm worried. God, I feel stressed. What's he going to do, man? God's going to do what any parent would do. He's going to come right up into there and he's going to say, here's what you need to do. First of all, just let me love on you. Many times when my kids have been sad and crying, what they really just needed was they needed a hug from their mama. And then they needed me to look them in the face and say, hey, everything is going to be okay. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to take care of it. When you're in God's presence, God's going to wrap you up and he's going to hold you and he's saying, I'm going to take care of it. Don't worry if you're going to have to be in this moment for the rest of your life and you're going to have to be, I feel like people are saying all over the place, am I going to have to be this unhappy for the rest of my life? And I want to tell you no. I want to tell you that no, you don't have to be unhappy for the rest of your life. You really don't have to be unhappy the next moment. But what you're going to have to do is just decide what you're going to do. I don't know how y'all are, but I'm a whim girl. I go off of a whim many times. That's not how your salvation is supposed to be. Your salvation is supposed to be solid. God, I may not be feeling it today, but I'm still your kid, and God, I'm going to act like your kid. You're not going to wake up every day feeling just marvelous. On the days you don't, you're going to have to say, God, here I am. I'm going to still be the best version of me. Lord, when this sadness and depression wants to come up in here and start whispering to me, God, I'm going to ask you right now for that still small voice to come into here and begin to tell it what to do. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And it says here, Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. So many people are depressed because they do not know what the will of God is for their life. Well, you got to do things to be able to know what God's will is. It says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When your mind wants to go crazy with you, how many times a week does your mind want to go willy-nilly with you? Mine is several times a day. If I let my mind do what it wanted to, I'd be in trouble. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to renew your mind. That's not your mama's job. That's not your daddy's job. That's not your husband's job or your wife's job. The renewing of your mind, that's your job. When you have a thought that comes in and it's just doom and gloom, you got to take the thought and you got to say, now thought, I'm going to renew you. It is getting better and it is getting better right now. Why is it getting better? Because God told me in His Word that He already gave me the victory over this. He told me in His Word that He would take care of it. See, you have to renew your mind. You're either going to binge in your mind one way or the other. Now, I know we got some binge watchers. How many of you like to binge watch shows? What do? You go, you get your favorite snack or two or three, and you get all your favorite goodies, and you get them up in your bed, and you get a show, and you're praying to God it's just as juicy as you heard it was. And you're binging it. We do that in our mind. We get ourselves and we get alone and we start binging. You're going to binge one way or the other way. And you're going to have to figure out what kind of binge you're going to have. You're either going to binge out and say, God, in Jesus' name, this is getting better. Lord, I speak to that mountain. I tell it to go. I speak to this depression. I tell it to go. I speak to doubt and unbelief. I tell it to come in line with the Word of God. Or you're going to say, this is never going to get any better. Life just is terrible and blah, blah, blah. See, you're going to binge one way or the other. You're going to have to choose what you're going to binge on. And I hope that you'll renew your mind. Renew it. How do you renew it? Look back. Look back and say, when was the last time that God was just a horrible disappointment to me? When was the last time that He was late for me? When was the last time that He just left me? You won't be able to come up with one. And that's going to help you to renew your mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 3 and 5. And it says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Look here. When you're having a moment, when Carson was about 6, he used to say something really funny, and it just made me laugh because I thought, I think he got that from me. He used to get this look. How many of you, your kids get a look, and you know they're about to just have a moment? He used to get this look, and he used to go, I'm about to have a meltdown. And then I thought, where did he get that from? Well, I tell that to Jeremy as a warning. I'm about to have a meltdown, Jer. I'm just telling you, so you can take cover. You have to take those thoughts captive. When you think that first thought, and you know it's not right, when you think that first thought, and it immediately you want to just get in your bed and just put the covers up there and just never come out and face life again, you want to walk in that sadness, look here. Take that very first thought captive. Take it captive and say, you know what? I'm not going to feel like this is not going to get better. God, it's going to get better. I'm not going to feel defeated. I'm not going to feel like a failure. I'm not going to wallow in depression all day long. I'm going to get out and I'm going to do something for somebody else. And I'm going to be the very best version of myself that I could ever be. God, help me to walk in your grace today. you're going to have to take those thoughts captive, because if you don't, those thoughts will rule your life. Whatever you think about, you can do it, good or bad. If you're thinking about doing something awful, you keep thinking about it, keep seeing yourself doing it, you can do it. If you see yourself getting on and moving on in your life, you're going to get to move on. You're going to get to go forward. What do you see yourself doing? Renew your mind. Take those thoughts captive. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I love God's word because it's, when you read it at first, it sounds like it's asking you to do something insane. Rejoice in the Lord always. Well, that's great when you're having a great day. Yeah, I'm going to rejoice when everything's going great. Well, have your first bad day and think about how much you feel like rejoicing in that moment. You're not going to feel like rejoicing. You're going to feel like complaining and doing all sorts of other crazy things that I don't want y'all to tell me about. That's something I've learned in 2 years. I do not need to know anything. I used to like to watch the Maury show. I don't even get any enjoyment out of that because I don't even like to hear that drama. Like, I don't have to hear things to be happy in life anymore. I used to be curious. Curiosity done killed this cat because I ain't even curious. Sometimes people call me up, have you heard it? I'm like, no, and I don't want to hear. Let's just get that straight right now. I don't want to hear it. It's going to depress me. I don't like hearing about people's lives going terrible. So it says here, rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. One of the main things of depression that depression will make you feel is alone and isolated. That's why we're reading Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. It says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. When everybody has turned their back on you, when they've disappointed you, when you're discouraged, when you feel like you don't want to go on, you can't move on, look here. God is very near. He's very near. We were in Branson a couple months ago, and I always look around. When I got a kid near me, it doesn't matter if they're my kid or not. They're a kid, and I'm going to watch these kids if I don't see a mama around. That bothers me when parents aren't around their kids, especially at a water park. And, yeah, I want to get a little judgy when I see that. And I do. So we was in the hot pool, the hot tub, and I was sitting there, and I was watching this little girl, and she was just a beautiful, blonde-headed little baby. And she was in the adult hot tub, which is about 4 foot deep. And here's this baby, and there was a ledge that you could sit on in the pool. But when you step off that ledge, you in 4 feet water. Well, this baby was about 3 foot tall. And I knew at some point she was going to accidentally step off of that ledge. Well, sure enough, she steps off of that ledge, and I see her, and there she goes. And I didn't hesitate. I'm in there, and I grabbed that baby up, and I didn't even look at that baby. I was looking around, and I was looking at that little girl, and I was thinking, where is this baby's eyes going to lock in? Because whoever she's locking her eyes with, that's her mama. And I've got this baby, and that baby's looking, and I could tell the moment that she saw her mama, and her mama saw me, and I just give that mama that baby. Look here. You're going to have to lock eyes with God when you feel like you're swimming in the middle of a depression. You're going to have to lock eyes with him and let him get you out. Because if not, you're going to drown in it. And I know that's sharp, but it is. It's the truth. And I thought, my judgmental self, I thought, that mother didn't even tell me thank you, and I done saved her kid. Heifer. And she's still consoling the baby, and she looks behind her over her shoulder, and she goes, thank you. Look here. We all get up in the middle of some things sometimes. We all have emotional things. We all feel sad. We all feel depressed at times. Look here, that's not a sin to feel that way. It's terrible that we feel like sometimes we have to act like we don't feel that way. It's terrible when we feel like we have to put on a smile for everybody when we're broken on the inside. Let me tell you, you don't have to do that when you come in here. If you're hurting, I want you to come in here and hurt inside of here and let one of us love on you. When you're broken, I want you to come up in here and let us try to mend you up. You don't have to come in here being any which way that you're not. All I want you to do is come up in here and just be real. Just be real. Whatever state of life that you're in, we're here to help you with it. You don't have to fake it till you make it, because let me tell you something. What I've learned, I've done that for a long time, fake it till you make it. When you do that, you're not making it because you're faking it. That's the truth. You'll fake one too many times, and you'll wake up in your life one day, and you will not know who you are because you done confused yourself. You don't have to do that here. Be you. Be you. First Peter chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 6. And it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. Y'all say like. It didn't say he is. It said he prowls around like one. Now, a lion will eat you up. The devil prowls around like a lion, but he isn't one. He's like a little chihuahua, and his bark is a lot bigger than his bite. You got to keep that in mind. The devil is going to yap at you all the time. I have a chihuahua. I know. All she does is yap. You look at her wrong, she's going to back up. The devil is roaring around like a lion, but he isn't one. And so it says, looking for someone to devour. The devil would love to devour you in your thought life. He'd love to devour you in a depression. He'd love to devour you in a moment of sadness and weakness. He'd love to get you right then and there. Don't let him. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. This is a message that was very, very close to me. I have felt a lot of sadness here lately. I've felt depression here lately. I don't feel like I have to act like I haven't. I'm just going to keep it real. I preach out of the overflow of my life because I know that that's how I can help people the most. If I have to sit here and fake it to y'all, we're all in trouble. And I'm not going to do it. The day I feel like I do that, I will not do this anymore. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I ask you right now, God, to do exactly what your word said that you would do. God, I ask you to make us strong. God, I ask that you'd make us firm, and God, I ask that you'd make us steadfast. Lord, every person in here, God, that has been battling depression this week, I speak to that depression and I tell it to line up with the Word of God, Lord, that says we have victory. God, you didn't give us a spirit of fear, but God, you gave us power, you gave us love, and you gave us a sound mind. So God, right now, in Jesus' name, I call down that sound mind, God, to guard every anxious thought that we have. Lord, I thank you for what you've done in this place. Lord, for every person that's watching on Facebook Live right now, God, I thank you for peace that's coming upon them right now. In Jesus' name, amen.